I want to talk today about where is your focus? Where is your focus? So Hebrews chapter 12, 1 to 4, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. If you have another translation, I think you can follow along as well. And we also have it on the, should be on the screen. And all right. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts today. Well, these last few weeks, I've been reading the book of Hebrews. Sometimes as you watch sermons that are preached, you'll sometimes realize, I think pastor's been reading a certain portion of the Bible. And well, I've been reading into Hebrews, and I've been enjoying the lessons that are taught there, and certainly has been inspiring me with some messages as it stirs my thinking. And you get lots out of the Word of God. When you start reading it, reading cover to cover, there's lots of things that God will speak to you about. And there's just so much you can learn from it. And it certainly teaches us that no one should take their faith, or that everyone should take their faith seriously, because we have a faith that is real, that is true, and a faith that can be trusted. And so that's something that's very important. Now, as you come to the end of the book of Hebrews, the last few chapters have some great summaries. One of them is talking about all the heroes of the faith. Kind of goes back through the Old Testament and comes brings us right up to date of people that have gone on before us that have been great examples in the area of faith. And then it goes into some summaries, one of which I'd like to share with you this morning about our focus and where that focus should be, especially in regards to our faith. Now, as you look at defining focus, focus is a concentration of one's attention, effort, and energy on a specific subject, goal, or activity, often involving the exclusion of distractions. It also involves a state of mental clarity of what one really wants to accomplish and what is really important. Now, as we apply that same definition to our faith, I think we need to ask ourselves, how are we doing with that focus on our faith? Are we concentrating on our faith? Are we putting our energies into living our faith? Is it our main goal in life, or are there other things that are crowding out our focus on faith? So our focus towards faith is something the writer of Hebrews really stresses here as he concludes the book of Hebrews, along with some warnings in regards to allowing that to not allow that focus to be overcome by the other focuses of life. And the Bible very clearly tells us that our faith is something that is very, very important, and we need to focus on it. We can think of the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew. Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." You might be a little bit more familiar with the King James Version, but "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I like another version, I believe it's the New Living Translation, first edition, and it says, "Make the kingdom of God your primary concern." And as I read those passages of scriptures, it kind of makes one look at themselves and wonder, well, how am I doing in that focus on God and that focus on my faith and my relationship with Jesus Christ? And remember, focus is about the concentration of our attention, our efforts, our energies. And maybe we need to ask ourselves, are we anywhere as close to that in regards to our faith? Do we really concentrate on our faith? Are we concentrated about growing in the faith, putting effort into our faith, you know, giving all of our energies towards our faith? Or has our faith kind of been something we kind of keep in the background, you know, kind of a security blanket, you know, that, you know, we've got to get to heaven. So kind of that's our little security blanket that we kind of keep behind us. But we really don't give our faith a whole lot of attention. And I hope that's not the case. But certainly it is a temptation because we live busy lives. It's kind of hard juggling all the responsibilities of life and the busyness of life. It's not always easy juggling all those things. And, you know, we all have our excuses. And we all convince ourselves that our excuses, of course, are legitimate excuses. They're reasonable excuses for us not focusing on our faith the way that we really should. And that's where we can get kind of comfortable in our faith and just say, you know what, I'm okay. I'm still okay, even though we're not really concentrating on our faith anymore. So a good question to ask ourselves is, where are we in regards to our focus on our faith? And that's a question you got to ask yourself personally, because that's a personal response. It demands a personal response. And I think probably many of us, or all of us, would probably find that, you know, sometimes we can be a little bit slack or a little too comfortable maybe with that focus on our faith. And that, you know, there's room for improvement, I think, for all of us. Well, the writer of Hebrews, obviously, he had that opinion that we really need to pay attention to our faith. And so he encourages throughout the whole book to really stress the importance of our faith and to serve God seriously. And he gives us some practical advice here to help us to get back to a proper focus on our faith. And that's what I'd like to share with you here this morning. Just some practical thoughts about how we get ourselves back to have a proper focus on our faith and on our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, the first piece of advice to get our focus back where it should be with God is to focus on those who have gone before. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith." And he just finished in the book of Hebrews referring to a whole bunch of individuals that have died, gone on to be with the Lord, and say, you know, here are some great examples of faith. But as we look at that, you know, we can all probably look to family, friends, people that we know that have been an example in the faith, and they've gone on to be with the Lord. And trustfully, they've been an encouragement to you. Sometimes we need to be reminding ourselves of those who've gone on before us and to be thinking, you know, they're up in heaven. I'm sure they're praying for us. How am I doing? And kind of have that focus in our lives. And, you know, even as we look around us here in this church today, we have some wonderful people that are solid in their faith and that can encourage us in our faith right here among us. And maybe as well, there could be some people here say, well, I'm just doing this faith thing. I don't have anybody yet that I'm looking to as an example in my faith. But I want to leave a legacy for my kids and my children's kids and on down through the generations. And that should be your focus, that you want to leave something for your kids. And the greatest legacy you can leave your kids is not money, it's faith in Jesus Christ. And that's something that's very important. Judy and I, we've been blessed with parents that have served the Lord. Both of us have lost our dads, but we're glad that they have served the Lord. And our parents have been very influential in our lives, and I'm very thankful for the faith that they instilled in us, that we've been able to instill in our children. And we trust that that will continue to go down to many, many generations. But as I look back and think about people of faith, I can remember the elderly gentleman that came to our home before we were in a Pentecostal church. And he was a pioneer of early churches that were established with Pentecostals. And I remember him talking about prayer meetings that when they would be trying to start a church, and how that a lot of people didn't like them. They didn't want them in the community. And literally, when they would have prayer meetings, sometimes there'd be a group people from the community. They'd come along and they would start throwing rocks at the home and smashing the windows out. And, you know, we kind of think, did that kind of stuff happen in Canada? Yes, it did. Some of us are all worried about persecution these days. Well, our forefathers went through quite a bit of persecution, even in the nation of Canada, as they were sharing the gospel. Of course, another reason I always enjoyed this gentleman, very elderly, he was already in his 80s, and I loved listening to the stories of elderly people. He was a rum runner, and a rum runner was those that would carry alcohol that would get from the, you know, the West Indies, Barbados, and they'd bring it up through sailing ships because they didn't have motors back then, and all the way along the coast of the U.S. went to Nova Scotia, and sharing all the stories that happened as he did that before he was saved. He also had a glass eye and tattoos, you know, all over his arms and stuff like that. And I know as little kids there, we kind of thought, gee, this guy's a pirate. You know, he seems to kind of fit that thing. But this man got saved. And when he got saved, he began to preach the gospel. And he would go to places and start churches where no one else would go. And it kind of taught me, you know, be strong in your faith. You know, expect some resistance, but keep strong in your faith. And as well, I was blessed in my life with influence from many pastors of many denominations. The United Church, our home, for some reason, we would have pastors that always would drop by, or the priests would drop by and fellowship in the home. And I used to love just listening to them. And sometimes it was a United Church pastor. Sometimes it was the Baptist pastor. Sometimes the Pentecostal pastor or the Catholic priest that would come by. And just treasuring a lot of those memories as a very young boy, listening to them. And then when I began to go to Bible college, them encouraging me to go that way. I think one of my first pastors, Gordon Acoyne, he would be a nephew of the Acoynes here from Glendon. And I'm kind of hoping he's going to be at the funeral there for Judy's dad, because right now I think he's filling in at the church there. So hopefully be able to see him again. Slum Waits, they were missionaries in Zambia, made an impact in my life. The last pastor I served under was Raymond Hunston from England. And just beautiful people, very influential in my life. And, you know, I can think of Ken Gill, who's gone on to be with the Lord. Think of Daniel Baker, Gary Taitinger, former district superintendent. Just some wonderful people that really encourage you and instill value in you, and that, you know, remain strong. Keep at your post. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep the faith. Serve the Lord. And, you know, I was kind of getting distracted this morning, even though that's part of my message. I was getting distracted this morning because I was thinking of people even here in our own church, you know, that have gone on to be with the Lord. And some of your parents have already gone on to be with the Lord. And the example that they were, the encouragement that they were. I was going to start mentioning a whole bunch of names, but I thought, oh, I might forget one or two, and then I'll get in trouble with you because I didn't mention that particular person. But, man, we've had a lot of awesome people that have gone on to be with the Lord right from this congregation, right from this area. And I think of them that, you know, they're a great cloud of witnesses. Do you think that in heaven they're, you know, they're just praising Jesus all the time? Don't you think that they're probably still praying for you and coming before the throne room of God and asking God, Lord, I pray for my son, my daughter, my spouse, you know, whoever has gone on to be with the Lord before you. But as we remember those people and remember the encouragement that they gave to us and the examples that we fed, and, you know, through some of you have generational blessings that way. And if we'd hold on to those memories and be determined to say, you know what, I'm going to continue to live the faith that I was taught by these individuals and leave a legacy for others to follow. So in a focus, sometimes you just got to remember those that have gone on to be with the Lord. Their faith, their encouragement. And one day we will see them again. That's going to be a wonderful thing. That's going to be a wonderful blessing. But I don't think they're just up in heaven just sitting around. I believe they're very active praying for us and praying encouragement over us. So, you know, as you think about focusing on the Lord, serving the Lord, remember those who have gone on before you. They're still encouraging you. You may not see that. You may not know that or experience it, but they are. They're in heaven. Of course, they're going to remember you. And they're great examples for us to follow. And so when you want to have a focus on your faith and get through when the storms come your way, think of those who've gone on before you. They're still there. The words that they gave you to encourage you, they're still encouraging you. So keep that in mind. And then secondly, we need to focus on the weights and the hindrances that are holding us back from a greater relationship with God. Again, Hebrews 12:1, and we'll be staying right along here in Hebrews 12, says, since we're surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. You know, sometimes there can be very practical reasons why we're not really focusing on our faith the way that we really should. The author of Hebrews, it's interesting that he likes sports. And obviously he enjoyed going and watching some of these things take place, especially track, in the area of track and the area of people running. And he used that illustration in other passages of Scripture, in Corinthians as well. And he refers to runners, and that as people are running in a race, that, you know, they don't come there with their full garments on. They strip off those coats and they just get down to what is needed. And they remove every weight that they can that would hinder them from running so they can go as fast as they possibly can. And you think of those who are involved in track today, and to win that race, well, you know, a lot of training goes into that. There's some weight loss that usually goes in with that. There has some muscles being built up. There's some proper clothing that you'd use. There are even proper shoes that you would use that will help you to run the very best that you can run. And that's kind of the picture the author is really kind of wanting us to get, that as you think of those things of what you would do in running track, and I know track is coming up there once that snow goes, but to look at anything that would hinder you, that becomes a weight for you, that's going to slow you down or hold you back from doing your best for God. And sometimes we just need to kind of take a stop and do an evaluation in our lives. Or what things are we allowing in our lives right now that really, they're not helping us in our walk with God at all? They're actually becoming a weight, and that's hindering us and holding us back. You know, the same dedication, training, commitment that we need to, that we do if we're involved in any kind of sport, you got to work at that. You just don't show up and just do stuff. And I know growing up, I did that kind of stuff, just showed up and got on some things and then was very embarrassed when you got into a bigger group of competition and you did kind of poorly. You might have did good in the first one, but you didn't do too good. So need to be looking at that. And the same dedication you would use to make yourself the best, you got to apply that as well to your faith. Do everything you can do to make your faith the way it should be. And if you have to deal with some weight, some hindrances there, then do so. Anything that's slowing your progress. So important. Bible says, let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So, you know, just to think, well, I said a little prayer. Well, good for you. That's a good little prayer. Book of James talks about how the demons, they believe in Jesus. That doesn't make them saved. There's more in that process than just a quick little statement or quick little prayer. And so work at your salvation. Work at that, your salvation. You know, take your faith very seriously. And look for things that maybe are hindering you from giving your all to Jesus. So weights will slow you down. They will hinder you. And so we need to be aware of those things. And for each one of us, those weights will be different things. All depends on what we're involved in, what we're doing, our personalities, and all those kinds of things. But we need to look at those things that they may help us to realize that, you know what, that's become a weight in my life. I don't need that anymore, and it's hindering me in my goal of serving the Lord, so I'm going to drop that off. I'm going to let it go. And as we take this journey of faith, sometimes that's exactly what we got to do. To get back on track, get rid of some weights that are holding us back. Then thirdly, kind of going right along with that and helping our focus to be on God, we need to deal with the sins that trip us up. You know, weights can be things that are sin, but they also can be things that are not sin. and just normal things, everyday things of life. But sometimes every that we go through in life can sometimes be a hindrance to us, because we start concentrating that so much that we leave out God. And so it says, deal with things that are tripping you up. Again, Hebrews 12:1 says, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And, you know, that's kind of a little phrase to take note of. The sin that so easily trips us up. And that's a little bit embarrassing for us as well, because we look at that. Sometimes there's some things that they just constantly trip us up, and we fall for it over and over and over and over again. And in those times, you know, you need to recognize that's a weakness that you have, or maybe that's a struggle that you have, maybe an addiction or a stronghold. But it's talking about those things where we just keep falling over and over and over and over again. And the reason we trip up on those things is because we refuse to deal with them. And another reason why we trip up on them is because we enjoy it. None of us would sin if we didn't enjoy sin. But we enjoy sin. And that's why we do sin. And that's why we continue in our sin, because we enjoy doing it. And, you know, that's another realization we have to kind of come into our minds, that, you know what, I've been enjoying this a little bit too much. I know it's wrong. Well, it's time to deal with that. It's time to deal with it. So he's saying, get rid of those things, those sins that are constantly tripping you up. And so there's a recognition that, you know, I have a problem. It's affecting me spiritually. It's affecting my walk with God. And so it's time to make a change. And, you know, sometimes when things are very difficult, or we find ourselves bound in a certain area, sometimes we need help. And that kind of goes back to, well, there can be great people of faith. Look to those people of great in faith. You know, look to a strong Christian to say, hey, I need your help here. I'm really struggling in this area. Could you come alongside me and help me to overcome this area? And there, again, lots of good people out there that can help you, can be a blessing to you. And got to realize that some things, where especially we keep falling over and over and over again, it's time to deal with them. And if we can't deal with them themselves, get somebody else to come along with you and to help you and encourage you through that whole process. And it doesn't always have to be a sinful thing. Sometimes it can just be the regular things of life that have kind of gotten out of control. And we got to bring those things back and get a proper focus on the Lord. And got to remember, we're in an eternal race. It's not just, you know, a little quick race. But got to deal with that stuff, because we are called to be more than conquerors, more than conquerors. So fourthly, in living for God, you need a focus on endurance, a commitment for the long haul. And again, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easy trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Again, it's a race. Again, that whole sport thing, that to have that picture in our minds, this is a race. Serving God is a race of life. And you need to do your best, and you need to prepare yourself and train yourself, equip yourself for the long race. It's an endurance race. It's not a short race. It's not a sprint. It's a long distance race. And so we need to, you know, prepare ourselves for that. The word endurance is defined as the ability to sustain prolonged physical or mental hardship, or to continue doing something difficult for a long time without giving up. It combines stamina, resilience, and persistence to manage stress, fatigue, or pain. Again, you got to work on your salvation. You got to work on your faith. You got to work on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And you got to get to that place where you are determined that there will be no turning back. Turning back is not an option. And, you know, we really need to get that in our spirit and in our soul, that no matter what happens to us, that we will serve the Lord. I think of the passage of the scripture that says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's a determination. It's a proclamation. But sometimes we need to make that for ourselves. As for me, I am going to serve the Lord. And so we need to work on that and to be prepared to face resistance, opposition, fatigue, persecution, whatever might come our way. Because sometimes, you know what? Life can be cruel. You can go through things in life that are very hard, very difficult. And so you need to determine beforehand, I will serve the Lord no matter what. So train yourself. Exercise your faith. Build some muscles in your faith that you might stay in your faith all the days of your life and that you might finish strong. And that's something we all need to do. Finish strong. I don't think there's a retirement package for Christians. Your retirement package is when you see the Lord, and that we're to keep working for the Lord until the day that we stand before him. And actually, heaven says there's different things we're going to be doing up there too, so there'll be still work up there, but there's no retirement for the Christian. Stay in the race. Finish well. And then lastly, from this text, we're encouraged to focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And when it comes for your Christianity to last, this is probably the most important one. Keep the focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. We do this by keeping your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. So when it comes to living your faith out, something that's very, very important is keep your eyes on Jesus. To do your best in a race, you need to keep your eyes on the finish line. You know, if you go through YouTube and you kind of look at all these pictures and reels of people that were in a race and they looked to the left or looked to the right. Sometimes they stumbled. Other times a person passed them on the other side, or they were celebrating too quick and didn't realize the other person was right there beside them. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Don't be looking around until you cross that finish line. And you don't want to be part of a highlight reel of people that didn't make it because you weren't keeping your eyes on the finish line. So very important. You know, horse racing would be another good application here, where the horses wear those blinders on the sides. And basically that's to keep them from getting distracted by the horses that might be on either side of them. And again, keep the focus. Something like that probably would be good for us. It wouldn't look very nice if we all had some little blinders on our sides, so we could always keep looking straight ahead towards our goal of serving Jesus Christ. And so sometimes we need to really work at that, you know, to get rid of all the distractions and, you know, make sure that my eyes are on Jesus. My eyes are on the finish line. And as we think about our Jesus, well, he is the Son of God. He is our conquering Savior. He conquered the grave and he conquered death. He's the one who died for us. He's the one who rose again from the grave. He is the champion, the all-star, the winner of the race, victorious, celebrated in heaven, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, wearing the victor's crown. He's won our salvation for us. He bore our sins. He suffered the cruelty of the cross. He was tortured, died a criminal's death on a cross for you and I, that we might be able to go to heaven and have faith in him and to be forgiven of our sins. Think of what he has done. Think of your Savior and all that he went through for you. And as you do that, you know what? Kind of gets our eyes back on Jesus. Gets us focused back on Jesus. And all the pressures that, you know, we can go through in life and think about Jesus, well, he refused to give up. He didn't succumb to his weariness. He didn't succumb to the persecution. He didn't, give up because they're trying to kill him. He kept the focus, and we need to do the same. And when we think life is hard, think of Jesus and what he did for you. And that kind of makes what's happening in our lives very small compared to what he has done for us. And I know that, you know, and even in serving the Lord, you will go through times where you will be tested. You will go through times when you are challenged. You will go through times when you are discouraged. You will go through times where you will even think of giving up or quitting. And what the writer of Hebrews is telling us here today, get your focus back on Jesus. Start looking at Jesus. Don't be looking at the people. People sometimes can be good, but sometimes people can also discourage you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Evaluate everything through his eyes, and he will lead you to cross that finish line to everlasting life. So this morning, where's your focus? What have you been focusing your energies and your life on? What has been taking up your time, your thoughts, your actions? The Bible is challenging us here to seriously look at where our focus is in life. Now, I know we all want to say, you know, answer with this responsible, well, it's just on Jesus. Man, it's just there. But I think sometimes the reality is that, yeah, maybe most of the time, but not all the time. And there's some areas where we all maybe need to work on our relationship with Jesus and keeping our eyes on him. And so I just wanted to encourage you today with this challenge to just be looking at what are we focusing on? And kind of get back to those right priorities, making sure our faith is in the right place. You know, let's deal with our excuses, let's deal with our stuff, and let's get back into pressing on with God, keeping the focus on him, making him our primary concern, because there is no better salvation than with the salvation that he offers us. Keep the focus on Jesus.